Blog Talk Radio.
Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus.
Mary Smith McCoy, and this is the day
has made, and we will rejoice, and we will be glad in it. We would like to invite you to call a neighbor, call a friend. Let them know that the hour of power broadcast is on the air, because truly this is the hour of power. And we want you to be empowered with the blessings of God. And we want the world to know Jesus. And we want them to know that he is the Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the first and the last. He is the true and the living God. So today, we want you to get ready for the Word of God. At this time, we're getting ready to go before the throne of grace, and we're going to invite you to come and go with us as we go in prayer. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you. We praise your name. We thank you for all that you have done and all you're going to do according to your word. We thank you, dear God, that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Thy word have we hid in our heart, that we will not sin against thee. Have your way today. God, bless the people. God, I see God endue them with power. Call them, Father, to know you, first of all, as a Lord and Savior. Let them know, God, that you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that they ask of thanks. And Father, I ask thee in the name of Jesus, God, to move on their behalf. Father, we just thank you and praise thy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We are excited about the word of God, like always, because it's the word of God. It brings light. It brings illumination. It gives us understanding. It helps us to grow. It helps us to be the men and women, boys and girls, that the Lord would have us to be. So I am always excited about the word of God, because in it, I am living. I'm living this life so that I can live again. And truly, God wants you to be able to live this life that you can live again. Well, this morning, we're getting ready to go through the word of God. And today, we're going to be studying from John, the third chapter. And we will use as a topic, we will use, you must be born again. And we want you to get your Bibles if you can. If you can't, why don't you just listen to the word of God? Because the word of God says that, oh, let us know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if you don't have your Bible, you can still hear the word of God. But also the word of God says in study, that should I suffer fool unto God, a woman of God need not be ashamed to write and divide the word of truth. So yes, there is a time that we can hear God's word, but we need to also hear and to study the word of God so that God can give us revelation of his word. So here in the first verse of that third chapter of John, it reads, and there was a man of a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that you do except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, amen and amen, I say to you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So here, we're going to pause here in the word just momentarily. And we see a man of the Pharisees. And we're talking about a man named Nicodemus. And Nicodemus, he was a leader. He was a ruler of the Jews. And Nicodemus had came to Jesus by night. Somebody say, why did he come to Jesus by night? You know what? I don't care what day of the hour that a man, a woman, a boy, a girl that came, that would come to Jesus, if they came 3 a.m. in the morning, the blessed thing is that he came. If he came 12 o'clock at night, the important thing is that he came to Jesus. See, Nicodemus was noticing the themes. I don't know how long he had noticed Jesus or he had known of him, but he knew that Jesus was different. He knew that he was a teacher and that teacher that came from God. He knew that Nicodemus knew there was teachers around him, and he knew of teachers, but there was a difference between the teachers that Nicodemus knew and the difference between the teacher of being the Lord and Savior. Nicodemus, he noted that. He said, you are a teacher that come from God. But he said, for no man can do these miracles that you do except God be with him. He knew it was impossible for them to do, anyone to do the miracles that Jesus did except they came from God. So here we see in that third verse when Jesus addressed Nicodemus, because, you know, he knew Nicodemus. He knew Nicodemus before he even came to him. I believe that God knew the day and the hour that Nicodemus was going to seek him. I believe that before he even appeared, that Jesus knew who Nicodemus was. And here Jesus addressing him, and he said, very, very, I say to you, except a man be born again. This is Jesus talking to Nicodemus. He said, except a man be born again. And this is, as we teaching this morning, it's as I'm talking about Nicodemus, I want you to put yourself in where Nicodemus was. And I don't know what city or state that you live in, but I want you to know that Jesus wants you to know him as well as he wanted Nicodemus to know him and to be saved. But Jesus said to Nicodemus, he said, verily, verily, I say to you, except, come on. And that's what, when you read the word of God in that third chapter of John, it, in that third verse, it says it has a capital E on except. He said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That means except you be born again, except your life is changed, except you confess your sins. The Bible says that we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, the word of God says that we shall be saved. So Jesus let him know that except a man be born again, you cannot stay in the same mindset. You cannot do and continue to do the things that you did before you come to Christ. You cannot do these things. So Jesus is saying that, hey, you must be born again. You got to be changed. You know, your life cannot remain the same. You know, many of us, even before we came to Christ, you know, we may have not have been a streetwalker or a prostitute. We may have had good morals, but yet we was not born again. We did not know Jesus Christ. We may have heard of him, but we did not have a relationship with him. So here Jesus is saying to Nicodemus, he said, except a man, and that meant him too. He said, except a man be born again, he not see the kingdom of God. And here Jesus is teaching. See, Nicodemus, he had recognized Jesus as being a teacher. He knew there was a significant difference between him and other teachers. But Jesus saying to him, except a man be born again. Come on. He cannot see the kingdom of God. He said, verily, verily, it's truly, truly, you know, you have to be born again. And then we look here in verse 4, and Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Oh, my God. What a question. And it was a sincere question because he was thinking in the flesh. He was thinking in carnality. He didn't really know, but he wanted to know. He didn't have that spiritual birth like I did not have, like you do not have. And before you came to Christ, of course, if you've been born again, then the revelation of God's word, the understanding of God's word will be manifested in you, and God would give you the revelation knowledge of what he was saying. No, he wasn't telling him about him being going back into his mother's womb and be born again, because this is what Nicodemus, how can a man be born when he is old? How can he go back into his mother's womb? He said, how can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? He was thinking that, you know, this is an impossible thing. If you would think about it and you didn't know what Jesus was talking about, then you would thought he was talking about being born again. But no, that's not what he was talking about. But this was a question that Nicodemus was asking our Lord and Savior. And Jesus answered. He said there in that fifth verse, he said, verily, verily, I say to you, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit. Except you be changed. Except you be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Except you be washed and cleansed, then you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. He said, that which is born by the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. And Jesus is emphasizing this to Nicodemus, the one, the seeker, the man that came to Jesus by night. He was emphasizing this to him, that you must be born again. And if I would say to you today, even as we follow through the word of God, even as we see Jesus speaking to Nicodemus, even as Nicodemus had came to Jesus by night, he let them know how important it was for him to be born again. And he let them know that any man, anybody, he would let them know that they must be born again. And this is what God wants you to know this morning, that you must be born again. We cannot continually to walk in our own righteousness, but we have to walk in the righteousness of God, which is by faith. You know, man's righteousness is as a filthy rag. You know, we have our own righteousness, the things that we think is right. We think sometimes when we go to church that we're okay, and we're going to heaven if we go to church. We think sometimes when we feed the homeless, we're okay. We're a do-gooder, and we're going to go to heaven. Oh, sometimes we think that clean up the church, cook dinners at the church, we're going to be all right. We think sometimes if we go to church three or four times a week that we're going to be all right. But no, Jesus wasn't saying that. He said that you must be born again. You must be made anew. God said we are new creatures when we are born again. We're new creatures in Christ Jesus, wherein old things pass away, those things that you used to do. You know, if you was a liar, if you was a whoremonger, whatever you did, you know, those things pass away. God give you a new heart. He give you a new mind, the same mind that's in him. Let the same mind be in you that is also in Christ Jesus. We have to have the mind of Christ. So he's saying we must be born again. And I'm saying to you, even as he said to Nicodemus, that he must be born again, God letting us know that, hey, no matter what way that you think that it's going to get you into heaven, it's not going to work. You can be a man, a woman, but a PhD. You're not going to get in. God's not going to let us in because of our education or what we have. You can have five Mercedes-Benz. And you say, oh, God, bless me with these cars. You can have that Cadillac. You can have whatever car that you admire or love, that beautiful Ford, that Lincoln Continental, whatever it may be. You may have a house on the hill. But that's good. And we're not knocking that. That's good. But yet, you must be born again. Your life has to change. You know, there's a song that says, I am not the same anymore. And it repeats again, I'm not the same anymore. Since Jesus came into my life, I'm not the same. And so it is when Christ comes in our life. We should not be the same. And according to God's word, you know, we can't live as we said before. We can't live according to our righteousness. Man making it some at this day and this time, they're living according to their own righteousness. You know, I go to church, but then for six days, you know, I'm going to do my thing. I'm going to party. I'm going to drink alcohol. I'm going to drink wine. I'm going to have sex with somebody that I'm not married to. Well, we're living according to our own righteousness. You know, we're not faithful to God, then how can we expect God to change our lives and for us to be born again? Born again means old things pass away, all things become new. And we can't make ourselves new, but only Christ can make us anew by we giving God our lives, by we saying yes to his will and yes to his way. So here, the word of God letting us know that we must be born again. He said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. Yes, I know that you're a leader. I know that you're a Pharisee. I know that you're the ruler of the Jews. But you must be born again, no matter what leadership you may be, what organization you may be in. If you do not live according to God's righteousness, we're not going to get in. You can also recognize Jesus Christ as being the Savior of the world. You can recognize him as being the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You can recognize him as being the Alpha and Omega. But if you don't come to him, and when I say come to him, I mean to give him your heart. to let him be your Lord and Savior, then you are not going to be saved. Jesus plainly telling Nicodemus that he must be born again. He must be changed. He said to him, he says, the wind bloweth where it lists, and you hear the sound thereof, but cannot tell from where it comes and where it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. And Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? And Jesus answered and said unto him, because he earnestly asked, he wanted to know. I believe he sincerely wanted to know. And Jesus answered, and Jesus, the word of God tells us, and Jesus answered. Come on. When he began to speak unto him, he said, Nicodemus, let's read in that ninth verse, Nicodemus asked and said unto him, how can these things be? And Jesus answered and said to him, are you a master? Are you the vice president of the First National Bank? Are you the CEO of the 500? Are you that person that have $1 million in the bank? Are you the one that has that PhD or your master's, or you have your bachelor's degree and you don't know? Are you the one that ruling over tens of thousands of people and you don't know? Here Jesus answered unto him, are you a master of Israel, in other words, a teacher, and know not these things? He wasn't trying to pick at him. He wasn't trying to put him down, but he was trying to bring him to a revelation of as what he was speaking to him, to give him clarity, to give him understanding, to give him a chance to search his own selves. And that's what we need to do, is to search ourselves. It's a time and day and a time that we got to search our own self. No matter what we have, no matter what we possess, no matter what the house we live in, we have to examine our own self. Verily, verily, I say unto you, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? No man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses, in that first 14 verse, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And if you go back and you read Numbers, the 21st chapter, in that ninth verse, it talks about Moses, how he had lifted up that serpent in the wilderness. That's good reading. Go back and read it. Numbers, the 21st chapter. Read the whole thing. And the Bible tells us in John, in the same chapter, at the 15th verse, John 3rd chapter, 15th verse, and he said that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And then this is the verse that we repeat so many times. It is so true. But we have to know it and believe it. When I say know it, we have to know it for ourselves. We have to, if you know something and it's true, then you're going to follow it. You're going to be obedient. You're going to take it as the living word, which it is. And to know, even as God is saying to us today, here in that 16th verse, it says, "For God so loved the world, come on, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." We got to know that God loveth the world. He loved the people that he made. It wasn't that we were so good, but because he loved us so much, excuse me, that we could have a right to the tree of life. He said that, "But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son," come on, "that whosoever believeth in him," whosoever believes in him, "should not perish, but have everlasting life." So again, it let us know that God, the love that God has for his people, the love that God has for the world, not because you are a sinner, because we were all sinners saved by the grace of God. It's only God's grace, only his mercy that saved us. Only the love of God, that caused Jesus to die on the cross. It was only his love that caused nails to be penetrated through his hands, oh my God, and his feet. It was only the love of God that caused the crown to be put on his head with the thorns in it. It was only his love that caused him to take many stripes upon his back and body for us, because he loves us. And when he wanted water, when he wanted something to drink, it was only God that would have taken and really the meanness of the people, the resentment of the people, the way he was resented because of his righteousness, because of his goodness, the way that they didn't give him water to drink, how they had given him the vinegar, how they gave him something that was not what he was asking for, and something that was to help relieve or something that was soothing. No, they gave him something bitter. Oh, God, it was only God that would do such a thing for you and me. And yes, he was dying on that cross for the purpose of our salvation. Because he said, "For whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." If you believe Christ, you're going to live according to his word. If you say you love him, you're not going to go and do things that are not of God. If you say you love him, you're going to, your righteousness is going to be according to the word of God. You're not going to say, "Because I know him, and I know Jesus loves me," and he does. But you're not going to go and you're not going to straddle the fence, as the elders said a long time ago, and how they say straddle the fence, you trying to live for God and living for the devil as well. No, Jesus Christ, he is a jealous God. So it's either God or either the world. It's just like a man and a woman. What woman going to share her husband with another woman? I mean, what woman is going to do something like that? I believe that you will reject even the thought of it. So why is it that we're going to want Jesus, to serve Jesus and serve the devil, serve the things of this world? But he loves it. Just focus on that. And you got to say it in your mind, oh, Jesus loves me. I want you to see this morning how much Jesus loves you, how much Jesus loves me, because Bible says we were all sinners. We all sin. But yet he loves you. He loved it, you, that he gave his life for you. But the good news is he gave his life. He was tortured. He was talked about. He was crucified. But yet, and he was put into a tomb. But yet, he rose that third day. He didn't stay dead. See, that's the power that he had. Come on. He did not stay dead. Oh, my God. If he would have stayed dead, then we would not have a right to the tree of life. We would have been doomed. But because he got up, because he did not remain that way, come on. He did it for you. What's your name, Jack? Jack, he did it for you. James, he did it for you. Patricia, he did it for you, that you can have a right to the tree of life. He, even as Nicodemus came to him, he want you to come to him. He want you to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Confess that he is God. Confess that he's the Lord. He's the Savior. And you got to believe it in your heart. Not just say it, but believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Then the word of God said we can be saved. We can be weak. But like that, when we begin to confess it and believe it, we can be saved. It's a glorious, glorious exchange just to be able to believe him. As I said before, many people say, I know him. You can know my name. But if you don't really know me, if you don't spend time with me, you don't really know me. If you don't spend time with Jesus, you don't know him. If you're not praying, if you're not spending time to pray and letting God speak to you as you listen to what he is saying, you don't really know him. If you're studying the word of, if you're not studying the word of God, because the word of God says to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman of God need not be ashamed to rightly divide the word of truth. You know, some people are just, they're hidden. I'm going to read a verse and only to satisfy themselves. You know, they may, I don't know what they may be reading, but how can you grow? If I take a crumb, I mean every day, if I eat a crumb, then I'm going to find myself, I'm going to be malnutritious. I'm not going to be built up. I'm not going to have what I need on the inside. I'm going to be weak. I'm going to be very weak if I don't read the word of God. I'm going to be weak if I'm just taking a crumb and put it in my mouth. A crime is not much. A crime is not much. But if we can fall in love with Jesus, just like the song that we had earlier, falling in love with Jesus is the best thing that I've ever done. I mean, it is the best thing that I ever done. And if you're saved, it's the best thing that you have ever done. And if you're not saved, it could be the best thing that you've ever done. It's the best thing that you ever did. Best thing. Falling in love with Jesus. For here in that 17th verse, it says, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn, and that's to judge the world, but but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed the name of the only begotten Son of God. And the word of God says, and this is the condemnation, this is the judgment, that light is coming to the world. And men love the darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Did you hear what I just read there? Did you hear what I just said through the word of God? It's nothing that I made up, but it's the word of God, because it says men love, and Jesus speaking this now, it said that men love the darkness rather than light. You know how it is when you go, when people go to a club, it's like the light's dim. They don't want a lot of light, because sometimes they're not there with their own wives or husbands. They want the light dim because of things that they're doing while the music is playing. They want it dim because they don't want people to see how they're reacting when they're assuming that the alcohol and the wine and all of these other things, that they love darkness. You know, because darkness, a lot of times you can't see in darkness, you can't see all the things that you may see in the light, but the word says that men love the darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. If you do evil, you don't want to come to the light, because you don't want your evilness to be shown up. We all want the things that we have done in life. We ought to be ashamed of those things, and we ought to come to the light. Jesus is the light of the world. We ought to come to him that he can cleanse us, that he can purify us, that he can forgive us for our sins and for our transgression. Oh, God, know that we were sinners. He know that we are sinners. You that sinning now, he know that you are sinners. But he is saying, I love you sinners. I don't like the sin. I don't love the sin. But he's saying, I love you. I want you to be saved. I want you to be delivered. I want to make you free. I want you to know me. I want you to experience my love and to know my love and to know that I will forgive you for your sins, because I love you. I know that you were in darkness. God, no, we as countless people, I mean millions and millions of people was in darkness, millions and trillions of people in darkness. But many of those people have come to Christ. Or are you saying that, McCoy, that the whole world is about saved? No, I am saying that there have been millions of people that have given their life to Christ. They have changed from their old pattern, their old way of living, and they have taken a new mind. They came to Christ because they want to be saved. They came to Christ because they want righteousness. They tired of the darkness. Have you ever been in darkness? You can't walk straight in the dark. I mean, if you go in the natural darkness, you can fall over. You can tumble. You can fall. You can hurt yourself. And so it is in the darkness of sin. Oh, my God. But I'm saying to you today, even on the last two verses, on the 20th and the 21st, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. In other words, reproved is exposed. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifested, that they are wrought in God. If you come to God, if you come to that light, then your deeds are going to be made known. And Christ will cleanse you. God, Christ will forgive you for your sin. We're getting ready to go before the throne of Christ. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you. Today, God, we thank you for the topic, ye must be born again. Thank you, Lord God, for that topic, for the people to know, let them know that they must be born again. Yes, you've given them the decision to choose you this day who they're going to serve. God, I pray even now that you touch the people, that you give them a mind and a heart, God, to want to know you, the Lord, to want to live this life so that they can live again. God, turn that heart into a heart of flesh, move the stony heart, God, that they want to be saved. And Lord, the mentality of men today sometimes, because of those their running partners and mates, because there's so many that running together that they think they have safely in the people that they're going with, running with, partnering with. And Father God, they find that comfort in that, but yet they are still miserable. So I pray even now, God, that they will give their lives to you. There are many of you today that need to be saved. And I pray even now that you just ask God to forgive you for your sins, to come into your heart and to save you, and he will. We want you to join us next week on Wednesday at this very same time on the Hour of Power broadcast. I'm Dr. Mary Smith McCoy. May the blessing of God be with you. May he keep you. May he shield you. May he guide you. And those that are sick, I pray healing, supernatural power, healing to your body. Miracles, let it be manifested in your body. Lord, let healing, Father God, in Jesus' name, that I pray, Father, even now, no matter what infirmity, God, that they're experiencing today, God, I pray healing, God, even now, in the mighty name of Jesus. And this we will bless and praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray. And, Lord, we thank thee. Amen.